Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
On the line with us right now, I can't tell you what a thrill this is. I have admired his work for three decades up in New York. The voice of New York sports, Mike Francesa. Mike, thank you so much for coming out with us today.
My pleasure, guys. How are you?
Well, Mike, we're great because we can't believe the Eagles won the Super Bowl. What was your reaction?
First of all, I was thrilled because I have my older brother, John, has been an Eagle fan since they traded for Roman Gabriel. So I was very happy for him. He turned 70 on February the 8th, so it was a great birthday present for him. So I was overjoyed. I'm not a big Pat Rooter myself anyway, so I was couldn't have been thrilled. And I know your city and your long-suffering fans, great win for you guys. Congratulations. You earned it. It was a wonderful game and an exciting game and a great win for you guys.
Hey, Mike, obviously you're happy for us. We love that. Is New York happy for Philadelphia?
I don't think so. But you know what? I think that stuff's overrated anyway. I never get into generalizing about fan bases and all that stuff. It's just not my stuff. I don't worry about that. But I think the average Giant fan was in a hard place. They liked the idea that they were the guys who could beat the Patriots. They had that to hang their hats on because they had done it twice. And not that they were rooting for the Patriots, but I think also they have no love, obviously, for you guys. So from that standpoint, they were in a tough spot. But I don't think New York's ever happy, you know, to be honest with you, except when they're winning. And right now, the teams in New York are really, except for the Yankees, are really in a bad way. It's been a tough stretch in New York right now.
Hey, Mike, this is what I'm really curious about, because you were there on FAN for a lot of championships. Which one made the city the happiest? Or maybe just you. Which one was the best one?
Well, really, I would say, you know, the Yankee ones, you know, are often, although let's be honest, it hasn't been that much lately. You know, they've only won one in a long time. But right. 96 was great because it ended a drought for the Yankees. But the one that really there was more unbridled joy for than anything else was the Rangers because it was so long coming. A lot of people thought they'd never see them win. Now, remember, hockey is not football. It's not baseball in our city. So, but for the fans there who are incredibly loyal, incredibly committed to their team, it was an unbelievable outpouring of affection and really an accomplishment. And that's why, you know, a guy like Messier is regarded as almost being a deity because of him finally delivering that. And he did deliver it to the city. So I would say the 94 Rangers, you know, 94 was great because we had the Knicks in Game 7 and they lost. The Rangers in Game 7, they won. But the Ranger one in 94 probably was the one that was the most, really the most joyous one of any of the championships.
That's interesting. I'll tell you, Mike. One of the reasons Philadelphia is so thrilled is because it was Belichick, it was Brady, it was the Patriots. But the Giants did it twice. And the second time, they knocked off a perfect season. Was there a heightened level in New York for that success because it was against a villain team like the Patriots?
Yeah, that one was really special. I mean, because nobody gave them a chance. You know, they had played them the last game of the regular season. And they didn't have a lot to play for, but they all played, and they lost a very tough, high-scoring game. They thought they had a good chance. I know Coughlin was confident. He thought he could get a pass rush on Brady, which they did. And so I think what we've learned is that the Pats are going to play a lot of close games in the Super Bowls. I mean, that's really been their way. In every one of these Super Bowls, win or lose, they've been very close games. So, and I thought this year, it's still Brady, and their offense is unbelievable. But I thought their defense was woefully weak, and that gave you guys a chance. The question I had was whether or not your quarterback was ever going to duplicate what he did in the NFC Championship game. I wondered if he was going to do a Terry Collins, which was have a phenomenal NFC title game and then come apart in the Super Bowl, but he was utterly brilliant. And I thought from the standpoint of the coach, your coach and how committed he was, how aggressive he was, and he knew he had to be that aggressive. Because let's be honest, nobody stopped anybody in that game. I mean, they couldn't stop you. You couldn't stop them. If Brady had kept the ball, and that's where fourth quarter pass rush was so important because you made the one play that changed the game.
Yeah.
I think if he keeps the ball there, he scores again. The question is he going to leave enough time on the clock for you guys to score again?
Right, but Mike, I'm guessing. I know how close you were at Parcells. I'm guessing you knew Bill Belichick or know Bill Belichick pretty well. What are the
We've
odds?
We've never been friendly, though.
Oh, you haven't?
No, we're not friendly at all. We don't speak. We never were friendly. It just the ways that, you know, Parcells and his assistants,
yeah.
There was always a distance. So I was only close, through the years, I was only close to two of his assistants. One was Tom Coughlin, who was not there that long as an assistant. Then he went to BC. Then he became a head coach himself. The other was Romeo Crennel. He keeps a distance from his assistants as far as socially. So Belichick and I never got along. We've never been close. I haven't spoken to him once in the last 15, 20 years. So as close as I have been with the other Bill, I am not close with that Bill.
That's fascinating, Mike. You are ahead of the curve on that because he doesn't get along with anybody in the media now.
Well,
right?
Listen, he doesn't have to. He can do what he wants. I mean, he's had so much. Really, it's remarkable. If you had the guy who struggled in Cleveland, got fired, went back with the Pats, came to the Jets, left the Jets in what was considered to be a disgrace after not taking over as the head coach, to see his career end up the way it has is utterly remarkable because he's been just an amazing coach. And for you guys, I think your coach, I mean, here's a guy who's been ridiculed. Let's be honest, nobody, I'm sure you couldn't find five guys in Philly who even were in favor of him being hired as head coach. And look what he's accomplished. He's done an unbelievable job.
Mike, I'm not lying. 2 years ago, I'm saying, man, they can't let Ben McAdoo leave. We got to have him here. how did that work out, right? I mean,
Not well.
Did anybody ever fail more spectacularly than McAdoo did this year in New York? Oh, my God.
Well, Ray Hanley did.
Right.
But other than him, you know, here's what happened. Here's really, and this is a very good test case for young coaches. He goes in his first year, he has a very successful year. Okay, he goes into the playoffs, he wins 11 games. But his second year, it started with the injury to Beckham in preseason. You go from there, and everything went wrong. And if you don't solve problems as a young head coach, before you know it, you're the problem. And that it just got to the point where the water was over his head. He did not know which way to turn. He completely botched the Eli thing. That was the final straw. Mara doesn't like to make quick moves, but he had no choice.
All right, Mike, just say, hypothetical, the kid here, Elliott, doesn't kick the 61-yard field goal in game three. Is everything different the rest of the year for the Giants and Eagles?
Great question. I don't think so, though. I think they had so many problems on the offensive line. The injuries to all their receivers, so many things broke down, and he also did a very bad job all year. So I would say no. That was a very bad game for them. It was a crushing loss for them. It started them down, and one game can do that in the NFL. It started them down the wrong path, but I think they still would have had a very bad season.
All right. You know as well as I do, Mike, you had a lot of listeners in Philadelphia in your 30 years up in New York. Not a lot of people agree with you on your take on Jason Kelce's speech.
I understand that.
Could
and
you
as a
tell
matter
us?
Of fact,
yep.
I think
yep.
let me explain if I can for
sure.
a second, because I know that's why I didn't think you missed me. I think that's really why you wanted me to have me on was about the Kelce thing.
I wanted you on for a long time, Mike,
well,
but you were otherwise occupied.
Thank you.
You had a job up there.
Here's what happened.
Yep.
I haven't been on the air at all.
Right.
So one of my board ops, Sal Licata, has been doing a show, and he's been trying to get full-time employment with a station up there, WR, which carries the Mets, 7:10 a.m., and I promised to go on his show. I hadn't done any broadcast. I'd done a couple of podcasts, and I was driving somewhere traveling, which right now I'm in South Florida today with my family, but I've been traveling, and I listened to that day to the Kelce thing, to the parade rant, and it seemed to me I was kind of a broadcast casualty because they were beeping every other word, and it was long, and I was like, man, this guy messed a great opportunity. He really messed this up by just, you know, if he just laid off the profanity. So that, I didn't think about it, and when I did this interview maybe a week later or something, a caller brought it up because if you circle back, when LeBron won in Cleveland, he went into this profanity-laced thing, which I took out after him the days after that. I went to I even had the commissioner on and said he should fine him, because I thought, who is LeBron in front of all these people to go into this, you know, filthy tirade, which he went into? Now, so I got asked about Kelce, and I said, you know what, why don't these guys just take this special moment, this special moment for the city, this special moment for their sport and their team, and just lift their vocabulary and just, you know, make something special that will last forever instead of ruining it with this profanity. Bottom line is, I went back last night and watched the thing in entirety, and I have to say, it was not as bad as I thought it was when I watched it and got to see it, number one. So I want to be fair to Kelce. Number two, I wish he didn't use any profanity, because it would have been a classic. It was really well done. He did a great job. And I thought it was one that really would last and could be used for a long time. And I know it's popular in Philly even with the profanity. But to me, those are such special moments that I wish they would just raise their level. You know, I'm one who loves the idea of a passionate tirade. I mean, I lived on them. Yeah. And I'd like to see them do it so that they can be, you know, be used time and time again and take the profanity out of it. I know even that he said in something I saw that he was worried about his profanity and that maybe he had missed the mark on it. And when I looked at it, number one, I overreacted that night. I made one comment, which really that was only one comment. I didn't talk about it for more than a minute. And it got picked up, obviously, in Philly, where, you know, I understand the overreaction because everything down there is so heightened right now. But I wouldn't cut him. So you could take that back. I apologize to him for that. And number two, it was not as bad as I thought. But I just wish, Angela, that he had just raised his vocabulary a little, because that was a great speech. He did a great job. And it was one that you could, you know, basically use time and time again. You know, if Lou Gehrig had said, you know, I'm the luckiest blankety blankety blank in the world, we wouldn't be playing it for 50 or 60 years, you know?
Mike, great. You made a lot of people happy with what you just explained. I'm not going to add to it at all. I thought it was terrific. Hey, Mike, I'm just curious about one thing. I'm getting close to the decision you did. Any regrets about leaving the day-to-day grind after 30 years?
It's different. I would really, really think about it, because you're in the same spot I have.
Yep.
You have done this for a very long time. You've been tremendously successful, and congratulations for that.
Thank you.
People don't realize, grinding it out year after year, week after week, show after show, they don't realize how hard it is, especially when you're on an ear as long as we are and as many hours as we are. I have to tell you, it is really, first of all, let me give you one hint. Don't leave in the summer and in the winter, because you know what? I had to come to Florida because there's not enough to do. I mean, so, you know, my kids, I have two 13-year-olds and an 11-year-old. So my kids keep me preoccupied. But I have to tell you, I do miss not, you know, when there's a big moment, when there's a big game, when there's a big, you wind up yelling at your wife. You wind up, you know, talking to your kids. You know, they don't want to hear from you. You want to go talk to somebody. You want to get your opinion out. You're bursting at the seams. So there has been some of that. I've always planned to come back and do something. I'm not sure what. I'm not allowed to do anything until after April 1st. But I would say, really make sure you're ready to do it, because I have to admit, there have been a lot of times where I've missed not having the forum that you and I are both so used to having.
I'm guessing it's coming the other way, too, at you, right, Mike? Because you're on Twitter and stuff. People are saying, Mike, I would have loved your take on the Super Bowl or something like that. They're conditioned, too, aren't they?
Yes, I think so, and luckily that there are people out there that are, and I think that's what our gift is that people want to hear our take. They get very accustomed to it. They're used to us. You know, they've been there with us through thick, through thin, through good times, through bad times, through great championships, through bad times with teams, and they get very used to it. And radio is something that people come back to day after day. It's incredibly habit-forming. It's part of their day. So many people stop me now and say, I don't know what to do. You were such a part of my day. And I think you'll find the same thing. You were such a part of people's lives and their daily routine. And we're all creatures of habit. So from that standpoint, I would definitely make sure you're ready to say goodbye. And I do say this. I'm going to come back and do something. I'm still kind of formulating what it is. I'm not going to do 5.5 hours anymore. I don't want to do that. I don't want to be locked in. I like that freedom of being able to take a couple of days and not have to work when I want, but I still want to do some broadcasting. So I'm trying to look at, I've had some opportunities presented to me, so I will do something come spring, but I'm not sure exactly what yet.
Mike, after all the years, suddenly Mike Francesa himself is a free agent. That's got to be kind of cool, right?
Hey, you know, it's funny you say that. Huh. I had not been a free agent ever in the last 30 years. Every time I got to within 2 years of my contract being up, they'd give me a new 5 or 6 year deal, luckily. And luckily they did. I mean, I was very fortunate. But I had never been in that position before. So that's been kind of unique, and it's been fun. You hit it right on the head. It's been a very different thing to have people actually call up and say, hey, listen about this. How about this? I haven't been able to do that. I haven't had conversations with anybody except Mel Karmazin and Les Moonves in the last 30 years. I have had a couple with David Field, who actually texted me last night from down in Philadelphia. They knew I was going to be on this morning. He actually texted me, so he's paying attention to your program.
I think you should hire Scott Boras, Mike.
Hey, you know what? He's got enough problems right now. He doesn't need me.
Mike, I don't have to tell you how much we enjoy this, and I can't thank you enough, and you know everybody in Philly is waiting to where you're going to end up. We're going to keep following you, Mike. You're still the biggest voice in sports radio in our history. You are.
Well, listen, yep. That's very nice. Thank you. And again, congratulations. No city, no fan base deserve the championship more than you guys. I'm thrilled. And again, congratulations. And like I said, Angelo, make sure you're ready to do it before you go.
I'm with you, Mike. Mike, thanks
so
much. Continued success. Right. Mike Francesa. That was so classy. Yeah.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.